Clockwork. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The lawyer representing the young person at the centre of the BBC controversy says nothing inappropriate or unlawful happened with the unnamed presenter. They've said the allegations from the young person's parents are rubbish. Rishi Sunak will head to the NATO summit in Lithuania with a renewed call for all members of the alliance to commit to spending 2% of their gross domestic product on defence. The Prime Minister will tell allies in Vilnius that plans to make NATO's armed forces more lethal and more deployable start with meeting the 2% commitment. A helicopter flying out of the Mount Everest area in Nepal has gone missing. The aircraft was carrying 5 foreign tourists on a sightseeing tour to the world's highest peak and was returning to the capital this morning. A mining class says if the government does not implement changes to the way women are treated following a miscarriage, then it no longer deserves power. The former Hearsay singer met with the Minister for Women's Health yesterday at the Tommy's National Centre for Miscarriage Research in Birmingham. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm Alex Stern.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £34 million.
Now that calls for a dance, Dermot.
Yeah, not the best dancer.
Hit it! Dip me, Dermot! Dip me like you've never dipped before!
Get that Euro Millions feeling tonight. Euro Millions from the National Lottery. Play on app. Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Coming up, Africa in Focus. Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio. Africa in Focus.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful Radio.
Good afternoon, good evening, good even, good morning, depending on where you are in the time zone that you are located in. We welcome to Africa in Focus. I'm your host, Julius Baluto, and this is another time you connect with us. We're coming to you, of course, from the heart of London through Colorful Radio to where you are. So welcome to our show today. We are talking about the things that you need to do, the things we need to know to invest back home. Back home could be any country, either in Africa, African country, could be wherever. But there are do's and don'ts whenever these issues are raised. But wherever you are, we want to just have this great conversation to understand, all of us, to further our understanding on matters investment. Today I'm joined by Mary Jonjo. Mary Jonjo, she's a property consultant, of course, focused on Kenyan market. So we just want to explore these issues because a lot of diaspora are investing back home. But what are the things that they ought to know? What are the do's? What are the don'ts? So Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Julius, for having me.
Tell us a bit more about yourself. I introduce yourself to our listeners and we'll pick it up from there.
Okay, so my names are Mary Njonjo. Just as you have said, I'm a property consultant based at London's financial district, Canary Wharf, and I have been in the industry for over 12 years. I've a lot of experience with diaspora market. So I market houses that are built or constructed in Kenya to the people living in the diaspora. And diaspora is not only London, but it could be also Europe, US, Canada, rather North America, or all parts of the world. So I have been assertive, or rather been really trying to push people in the diaspora to own homes back home or investments. You know, sometimes you want to have something to fall back on, or even just earn. You'd want to earn something, have some passive income somewhere. So Kenya is one of the best places to own an investment, and that's why I'm very, very passionate about marketing properties based in Kenya.
Yeah, that's great to know. That's great to know, Mary. And when we talk about investing back home, It sounds very easy. It sounds almost straightforward. Those who are selling, they make it look so easy. So, but the question is it that easy to invest back home? And we have seen people who have tried to. Some people have lost money. Oh. Others have done it successfully.
Yeah.
And therefore, you want to maybe share with us, probably you may have come across cases of people who have not succeeded, and maybe those who have succeeded. So what do people need to know before they invest back home? Investment could be like anything, but let's talk about property. What do they need to know before they invest?
Thanks, Julius. I think this is a very important topic you're talking about, because anyone who is living in the diaspora, they have hope that whatever monies they are making in the diaspora will become useful to them someday, whether invested here or invested back home. Unfortunately, you know, in the past, the way things were being done was a developer would come and, you know, market to you, to the people in the diaspora, and after that, the developer would go back to Kenya. And thereafter, it would be very difficult for a for someone in the diaspora to follow up with the developer back in Kenya. Sometimes because of time difference, sometimes just, you know, inefficiencies in communication. So all that would bring a lot of frustration to the people living in the diaspora. Personally, myself, I've gone through those kind of frustrations when you're trying to get in touch with a certain office in Nairobi. You've sent an emails, unanswered emails, unanswered phone calls. You know, it can be extremely frustrating. And also, there are people who've sent money to their relatives, you know, trying to invest back in Kenya. Maybe you trusted your mother, your auntie, your cousin. It could be whoever, a relative. And for some reason, you know, I don't know what happens, but I have so many tales of people being taken advantage of. And sometimes I don't even blame the people who are in Kenya. The reason being, this person is not a developer. This person has never constructed a house. But you're entrusting this person with 5 million to build for you a 3-bedroom house. This person has no experience at all. So there was that aspect of people just sending money to Kenya and hoping that these things will happen, or rather, you know, whatever you wanted or you are hopeful to achieve will be done through your parents or relatives or people who don't even have any know-how on investment. So people have lost money, yes, but all is not lost. I would like to say all is not lost is because we launched our company in 2017, the company that I had worked for a very, very long time. So what we did is we saw there was a gap in the market in terms of I would come and sell properties and then go back. I would just stay for 45 days and then go back. But, you know, the follow-up, the phone calls, like I said, the emails and all that, it was a bit challenging. So what we decided is let us come closer to the people so that we can bridge this gap. And what we did is we opened a subsidiary office in East London, where I have been for the last like 7 years. And I can assure you that really helped bridge the gap. So if people wanted just even counter-checking something, or even just following up on a receipt, something as basic, just as a receipt after you've made a payment, I was easily available to reach me. And also, you know, because I was not doing any other job, this was my full-time job, you know, customer service and these kind of things, I was able to really bring the services closer to the people. So for the people who have come through me, they can attest that buying a house has become much, much easier because there is a place you can come and find me. If you want an explanation, if you want to be probably you have a friend who also wants to buy and she wants to hear from the horse's mouth, it has now become much, much easier. What I can tell you is all is not lost. Again, I repeat that all is not lost. The model has changed of how we used to do things. So companies now are much aware, the companies that come here, or rather the developers, they are much more aware about the challenges that we face, from transfer issues to issues dealing with communication. So most companies are trying to, you know, to conform, or rather to work with the diaspora so that the process is as seamless as possible. Many people I have, so far I can say, since I came in 2017, I have sold over 860 properties. It's on record. It's there. I've launched over, I think, 5 different companies, including one that is in the Nairobi Stock Exchange, big company. So I've brought the services very close to the people and have broken it down and made sure that the payment terms are flexible, that they conform, or rather they fit with people in diaspora. So right now, what I can assure Kenyans in diaspora, it's not as hard as it used to be. And probably I would say you don't want to trust now your money to a relative who themselves they've never invested, but you're also entrusting them with you know, with lots like 1 million to invest on your behalf, and this person probably has never even you know, managed 200,000. So things are much better. Use a structured company, use you know, a system whereby you can hold people accountable. So I've had a lot of success stories. I have so many people who've called me when I'm in Nairobi and they've told me, Mary, come and visit me. I'm in my 3-bedroom house now. I have people who have told me now they're earning rent. I have people who just tell me, oh, my message has just, a notification has just come. You know, my installment has just been credited. My, you know, the rent, you know, they are receiving from, and they are miles away. So I have a lot of success stories as well.
Wow. So one of the things we realize is one point which you shared is very important, that think of it this way, even maybe when you left home, if it's your parent, maybe they had never built a bigger house which was so expensive.
Yeah.
Immediately there you have issues of cost, knowing the cost.
Yeah.
Immediately that there you have issues of how to source for materials at better terms and better rates.
Yeah.
And immediately there you have a challenge of even knowing how to go about it. Because if you, when you're dealing with professionals, and I think that's what you're advocating for, is the fact that it when you're dealing with the professionals, definitely they know what they are doing.
Yes.
And they can do the costing for you.
Yes.
When I went through process of in building a house, big house or whatever, I was amazed. You know, when you're dealing with professionals, even to know how many tiles will be consumed by you making a roof, all they needed to do was to see the design of the building, and they put everything on computer and they tell you this is the amount of tiles you are supposed to buy.
Yeah.
And it looks like magic, but it's amazing when you're dealing with professionals. So supposing you are not dealing with professionals and you are dealing with someone because you trust them, which is innocent, and they're also innocent. If they've never built and they don't have experience, how do they cost material?
Yeah.
Number one, there will be waste.
Yeah.
Because maybe if you dealt with a professional, he will tell you, this one, you need about 200 tiles.
Yeah.
So this other fella is just estimating.
Yeah.
He may overestimate or underestimate. So, yeah, it's very important. So that one message you want to push across.
Yeah.
Deal with professionals.
Deal with professionals, yes. Yeah. And people who you can hold to account.
Yeah, when things go wrong.
Yes, you have written agreements.
Yeah.
You know, you can sue someone, you can take someone to court, you know.
And also, I think when you do that, also, those who you are dealing with are more careful, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, because you have a brand to protect.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not out there just to, you know, to play around or to joke around with people's money. You have a brand to protect. Most of these companies, they protect their brands by all means.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, Our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturiser. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
Now we have a situation as well. I've come across other people saying that, look, we bought this land and this company was to build houses for us, and they've sent almost all the money, but this building is still not off the ground.
Yeah.
Well, in such a situation, what's happening and how can people protect themselves?
Okay. So I believe most companies, when they are starting off or when they even bring this, it's not intended to... Sometimes we have... Let me put it this way. We could be having very genuine cases, like extremely genuine cases, and we could be having probably just companies that are not... You know, they are wrong companies. So these things happen, you know, all the time. But they're not many. It's once in a while, you know, that you meet these kind of companies. So usually what I tell people is look at the track record of a company first. What have they delivered in the past? And what were the timelines? So there are genuine cases whereby maybe you find even just structural changes probably which can delay a development. So those ones are understandable. We have even other issues, for example, like I know when the roads were being done, especially the bypasses and what have you, we had some developments which unfortunately the road had to like pass nearby. So those developments were halted until, you know, the Kenha, the people who deal with roads, were able to give a proper map, and people were... So those kind of genuine cases, they happen. And in those kind of cases, the company usually communicates to the clients and lets them know that this and this is happening. And even they take responsibility and say, because of this, we will give you maybe a discount on this, maybe on the legal charges or, you know, or something similar. So the main thing here is be associated with a credible company which has a good track record, or be associated with people who are known to deliver. If you do not have something to show me that this is what you have delivered in the past, I might be very skeptical about even engaging you. So sometimes I've seen just people, you know, just jump onto an offer just because it looks very good. And I remember a company that went down in Kenya. The deal was extremely good, and I just thought, surely someone somewhere would not give these people money. And unfortunately, they did. Many Kenyans lost millions because the deal was just too good. How would you sell a house at 2.5 and it's a two-bedroom house? It's a thing, some things just don't make sense. And if only some people had done some small due diligence, even just by saying, can you take me to your complete project? Can you take me to your office? Where are you situated? Just, you know, just small parameters, probably people would have not lost their money. Some things look so basic, but they're very important.
Exactly. Like you want to know who is selling.
Yeah.
What is their, especially what you're saying, track record.
Yeah.
Or check their portfolio.
Yeah.
What have they delivered?
Yeah.
Because without checking that, you don't even know who you are dealing with.
Exactly.
And there's that chance of being loose. I've seen cases of people complaining like, oh yeah, we were told this would take about, you know, 5 years for the houses to be completed. But we keep coming back we've gone there 6 years down the line, 7 years down the line, the house is not complete. And some have really gone into extreme, you know, stress, not knowing what will happen in the end.
Yeah, but Julius, I can tell you, those are one-off cases. Most of the people deliver. I would want to change. I don't know, people, you know, people can focus so much also on negative scenarios. We have also a look at all the houses in Nairobi, surely. Someone delivered, isn't it?
Of course.
Someone must have delivered somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So we always have those one-off cases. But most of the people deliver. Most of the developers will deliver. And on time, and people, I've known so many developers who usually would keep their word. Yes. But of course, you know, in life there will always be the bats. There is always that one rotten apple.
Rotten apple?
Yes.
That makes the other apples rot.
Apples look bad, yeah.
Very, very true. Look at it this way then. You see, there are many issues that, like buying property, involves and processes each are there. I've seen in some cases you start by buying the land, and then after that the company may give you a mortgage and they build the house for you. In that, if it's a controlled or gated community or houses, that must be the same. But when you are to build the house yourself, because if it's not part of gated community, then you are like, it's too much buying the land and spending to build the house. So what do people need to know in this particular case before you buy land, that land? What should you focus on? What are you supposed to check?
Okay, first maybe I would start with saying it is hassle. If you're living far away from Kenya, it is hassle-free when you buy a property that is being developed by a developer who probably, you know, if you're looking for a 2 or 3 bedroom house, yeah? So it's way much easier going to a developer and saying, hey, I need a 2 bedroom house. You agree on the price, on the payment plan, all you have to think about is how you're going to raise your deposit and your installment. That is hassle-free for someone living in diaspora. But there are people who prefer, probably they just want their own design, or they just want their own house, or they want just a certain specific location. So for those kind of people, remember, again, you have to rely on people on the ground. So you start with a disclaimer. You have to start with relying on someone else. But there are certain things. There are people who've done it, and they're also, you know, they have succeeded in this. So if you're going to buy land, automatically you need to do, I've always said, involve a lawyer, or, you know, just a legal team or person. And most likely someone who is not just any person, but any legal representative who has good knowledge in lands or on conveyancing. So you start there. So you get the title copy from, or rather the documents from the seller. Take them to your legal representative. Obviously, they're going to do some search and what have you, due diligence. They also, these days, I know they even go to the ground. You know, they don't just rely on what they get from lands ministry, but they also now go even physically to the ground and talk to the neighbors there, and ascertain that this is your piece of land. So while you're living in diaspora, it's very hard for you to say you can do due diligence on your own. It is always advisable use someone who understands the system. And you know, the laws keep changing all the time in Kenya. So it's always good to use someone who has that knowledge that these laws have changed, and this is what we need to do in this particular case. So if you're going to buy land, do that. Get someone. So if you have the clearance from your legal representative or lawyer, then step two is you need now probably to involve professionals. This business of saying a foreman of and you're borrowing a foreman from your neighbor, that, oh, this foreman delivered for me, that's when you start seeing these cases of buildings with cracks and all those things. So, you know, bring together a team of professionals, architect, structural engineer, mechanical engineer, bring a team of professionals, and probably let them be headed by the contractor. So contract someone to do this, to deliver the development for you. And then I would suggest, or I would say, is pay the professionals as per milestones. So you're not like putting 100% in advance. So you're paying them in milestones. So you can probably start, if you're doing just a normal bungalow or residential house, you can probably start with the foundation. From the foundation, then you can go probably to the all the way to the rental. From rental, then probably you can give them the last tranche, which is the finishes. Yes. So use a professional. These things are okay. People say, oh, it's expensive to use a professional, but yes, but you're also saving a lot of money. That investment is probably worth 6 million.
Yeah.
So you cannot compare the probably 0.5% cost of professionals with the 6 million. You know, yeah.
So they say have the knowledge.
Yes.
Ignorance is more expensive.
Absolutely. Very expensive. It can even cost you double or triple. Agreed.
Yes. Yeah. So have the knowledge.
Yes.
And it's very important to do due diligence, especially when you are in these initial stages.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Very, very important. I don't know what goes wrong. And again, I've seen, which is very sad.
Yeah.
Someone has erected a building that is worth 100 million shillings. So much money.
And just wants to do it.
And you see them taking shortcuts.
Yes.
In the end, after you have tenants in, you see the building coming down.
They don't listen to the professionals. And if they did, someone would be, you know, responsible for all that. But they don't listen. They want to take shortcuts. But the professional maybe has said, you're going to use Y10 here, you know, the right bars, steel bars. But because they're expensive, you think, oh, I can... Or even using those foremen. You know those foremen who act like they are experienced?
Yeah.
And they come to site and they are showing you, they know, I've been constructing for the last 10 years. If you have not...
They say before you were born.
Yes, before you were born, I've been doing this. Exactly.
You are still doing it.
No, still doing it, exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have always advocated for professionals. Spend extra and deal with professionals.
Yeah, it's not good, because sometimes you're like, the amount that has gone into such a building of spending material for 100 million shillings. So.
Yeah.
Still a lot of money, even in British pounds and whatever. But you see a building coming down with people in it.
Yes.
Which very actually, sad. Such contractors should be really
brought to account. That maybe even there was no contractor in that particular development.
It was just a foreman.
It was just a foreman.
Who has been doing it for so many years.
Who has been doing it for so many years, even before you were born, you know. You will be shocked. You know, so and also a lot of people without integrity. You have foremen who will collude with the construction material companies. They bring substandard
stuff.
Yes, for example, sand. You know, it comes the wrong sand. You know, there is the right sand for each step, plastering.
Yeah.
You know, casting. Different sorts of sands. So if you also get those foremen who will collude with these other people, then you are left there in the middle. You will think that you are doing, you know, you are having a quality or rather building with integrity, and yet it's not. But how do you get to know that? You might not, because you are using that fella from your village.
Very, very risky. Very risky. So then when we look into the property industry back in Kenya right now, on the amounts of homes being built, and you see diaspora very keenly engaged, what do you think, or what can you say to diaspora that they need to watch out for when they engage? So you have all these... For example, I get people asking, is it better to buy the land and build the house for yourself, or is it better to buy a house that's already built?
For me, okay, it depends on someone's preference. Eh? But for me, what mainly I've been doing is selling, you know, developed properties or projects which are ongoing. I find that a bit hassle. It's hassle-free from the people living in diaspora, because all they have to worry about is their deposit and paying their balances. That's all.
To buy land to build yourself, for you, you build by, you know, from whatever you want to build, or buy what's built already?
Yeah, even in the diaspora, it's hassle-free to obviously get something that has been built, or rather an ongoing project. That's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Colorful radio.
Do you think it's also cheaper?
It is cheaper if you're doing it for yourself while mm-hmm. there.
Yeah.
But if you're going to entrust other people to do it for you while here, I don't know. Yeah.
It may cost you more.
It may cost you double. The foreman will ensure that he has his own house, you know, as he
before yours is finished.
Before yours is finished.
Wow.
Yeah.
A story is told about a teacher.
Yeah.
This teacher was a very, very good teacher.
Yeah.
And he was going to retire.
Yeah.
But because the school appreciated him so much.
Yeah.
The headmaster colluded with other teachers to make sure they would give him a present that he would never forget.
Right.
And therefore, behind the scenes, without his knowledge, they decided to give him to oversee a project, a building project. And they made him think, because you are a great teacher, we are paying you this extra to oversee the building of this house.
Yes.
As we respect your knowledge, you are a great teacher, this is an extra responsibility for you to oversee the building of, construction of this,
of this
big house. 4-bedroom house.
Wow.
And now he got into business
of
constructing the house.
Yeah.
He's being paid to oversee. But behind the scene, no one has told him anything.
Yeah.
And then he started to cut corners.
Oh.
He used the wrong material.
Yeah.
He cut corners. He tried to, like we are saying, collude with foreman, use bad materials because he wanted to pocket some change.
Yeah.
And when the building was completed,
yeah,
4-bedroom house, it didn't look so pleasant.
Yeah.
It didn't look like a building you want to see.
Yes.
It was substandard.
Yeah.
And when it was substandard, so the whole school and teachers and headmaster begins to, they tell him that, prepare yourself on Saturday. You've done great work. We just want to come and, hand over the building to the person that it was being built for.
Yeah.
And he got himself prepared. He was like, I made some money, little money out of this building. Of course, it's not a lot of money. The money that you made through cutting corners, it comes, it goes. You can't even track it.
It's not blessed.
So it's not blessed.
Yeah.
So it came the big day, and all these people gathered, and the school came also. And they say to him, thank you for your role in helping this person to get this building. And they say to him, the headmaster gave him the keys. They say, this is your house.
Amazing. So now you have to think about the corners you cut and the substandard materials.
Look,
there
was enough money.
Yeah.
Whatever nice building you would have, there was money.
Yeah.
All you had to do was to spend the money and build the best.
The best. Yeah.
The money is there.
Yeah.
Spend it, build the best.
Yes.
They didn't tell him there's no money or what?
Yeah. But so now he had to live with a house which he knows is substandard.
He started to cry.
Wow.
So it goes to show how difficult it is to entrust somebody in a different country to do something for you successfully.
Yes.
It's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
As you're saying, I think a lot of people in the diaspora are on the horns of a dilemma, because on one hand, you cannot physically be there to do anything for you. It's not possible.
Yes.
If you're working whichever country, US, UK, Canada, you're working. Your holiday, if you're lucky to get a long holiday, maybe just a month.
Yeah.
A month is not enough to construct a house.
No.
And therefore, you have to make assessment, and you realize you have to depend on somebody to do it for you. So the question is, which way do you go? Of course, if you want to build it yourself without using professional companies to do it for you, yes, you may employ services of professionals, but still it's going to be expensive because you're not on the ground.
I don't call it expensive. Yeah. I feel it's money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're protecting your $6 million. Maybe you're investing $6 million.
Now, what I meant to say is different.
Yes.
You might engage services of professionals.
Yes.
But you are far.
Yeah.
And like our teacher,
yeah,
some may be tempted to cut corners and...
Yeah, but you have legal agreements.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know what I think? For me, when you are going to... It's better to engage companies that are doing it directly.
That understand it.
Yeah.
Yes, and have been in it for a long time and, you know...
Yeah.
Yes. It's...
Because if you say you engage services of a contractor, just one person, maybe he doesn't have a lot of experience, you'll be like the foreman.
Yeah.
He may know what to do,
but
maybe not everything.
Not everything, yeah.
See,
and you know, like now there's a lot of technology coming up, whatnot, you know, so he probably is not used to the new ways of doing things.
See, a long time ago, there were these masons, and you just meet one, and they could successfully estimate materials based on their experience.
Yes, based on their experience.
But these days, in Kenya and any other country in Africa, you have people who are coming up with amazing, sophisticated designs for buildings.
Yes.
And when it's so sophisticated,
our
village mason, his knowledge is outdated.
That's the thing.
So you give them complicated design, they won't be able to estimate the cost of material.
Not say no.
They will take it.
Yes.
So your safe bet is to engage services of a professional.
Very expensive, and it also becomes, you know, a very big headache because maybe that is not, and a lot of disappointments and tears because that is whatever the end product is not what probably you expected. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, what do you think the role of using a lawyer to do due diligence and
that
things
is
like
critical.
That?
It is. It is critical. If I told you right now to go and do due diligence in lands or on the portal, even logging in is an issue. It could be an issue. Okay, people are able to log in to, is it Kenya? What do you call it?
The one where you find all services of the citizen.co.uk.
Exactly.
Yeah. E-citizen.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not that easy to navigate certain sections, maybe even in lands and water, especially if you're selling something to someone. And probably the documents which need to be uploaded and whatnot, you know, you need to engage services of someone who understands exactly even what is required to upload. You can sign in, but you're stuck there because you don't even know what to upload.
Yeah.
Yes. It's always important to...
It's not easy. And these technologies are so sophisticated. You see, not everyone is blessed with these technologies.
Yeah.
Sometime when you go online, you are trying to do something for yourself.
Yeah.
And... It is now when it dawns on you how difficult it can be.
Yeah.
Even to have an account on eCitizen, you
know,
it begins to request for things, maybe.
Yeah.
Enter your ID number. Maybe you don't even have ID.
Yeah.
And you want to do something.
Yeah.
So you realize for you to be successful to get through to eCitizen,
you
will have to renew your ID.
Absolutely.
Which is a process.
Yes.
But supposing you engage services of a legal representative,
they'll
be able to do
these
things for
you. That we cannot
they'll guide
this.
You.
We cannot do this because of A, B, C, D.
Yeah.
First take care of this so that we can we can proceed. So, you know, it saves time and the frustration. So saves the frustration.
And when you see all these big companies reaching out to diaspora to encouraging them to invest back home.
Not only big companies, we even have middle-sized companies that are very, very good and efficient. Yes.
So it's all of them, yeah.
Yeah.
So the other thing is the efficiency of it.
Yeah.
Through experience I've seen, and people get frustrated.
Yeah.
So you see a company, they come from Kenya. They may send maybe to UK or to Canada or to US. They may send a delegation of about 6 people. Yeah. Now, those 6 people this company is sending to Canada, UK or US, they are going to incur flight expenses, which are expensive, if it's the 3-day period, wherever they will be, you're going to be hotel accommodation as well, all those things. But yet they come on the ground, they engage with diaspora, but yet when they go back home, there's no follow-up. And the people in the diaspora are always also trying their best to follow up, but it becomes very difficult because there's slowness of response from the ground in Kenya, just like any other African country. You realize that there was a lot of, you know, there was a lot of passion involved when you see these people. Yeah, come on, invest, back home. But you try to call from diaspora, even the phone is not answered. Sometimes when it's answered, no one will get back to you as quick as you wish. And that passion that was given to you, at some point it dissipates, it finishes, you get disoriented, and that dream to invest also disappears. What can people do to improve, I mean, on the ground? When you're dealing with diaspora, what do they need to improve on?
Personally, I've been very passionate about effective communication to the diaspora. Anyone who has dealt with me knows, if you call me, don't find me, I will always call you back. So, like I said, we identified the gap in 2017. And that is why we went an extra mile and decided to open a subsidiary office in London, so that we are so that we bring the services closer to the people. So, it is, let me say, I will not speak for other companies, but I'll speak for people who've come through me, that they can easily access me, I'm easily available, and I even go out of my way to go and meet people, you know, and I also have all these sessions and small seminars, you know, just to tell people, or events, just to tell people what's going on, what's coming. So I'm easily available and accessible. So I will not speak for other companies, but I will speak for myself.
So it's very key to have effective communication between the diaspora and investors.
It's because that's the only thing that connects you. It's a phone call or an email or a text or a WhatsApp message. So that's the only thing that connects. So if that is not there, it can be very frustrating to the person in diaspora. Personally, I've gone through it and I know it can be very frustrating.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
And when you look into the kind of investments happening on the houses being sold in Kenya, what would you say works better? And we have different categories. You have people who decide, okay, I bought the land this year and I'll start to build next year. Someone begins to say, okay, another person will come and say, yeah, fine, okay, I've seen this gated community, I'll go for that. And another one will say, it's not gated community, but it's a company selling ready-built houses. When you look into diaspora and the way we live, where we live, and also the different how houses there are, you may find that someone in the diaspora may be a bit confused. Should I go for gated community? What are the advantages? Or should I just build a castle on my own piece of land in my own little jungle?
First, maybe to answer that question is you need to ask yourself, what do I want? You know, probably if you ask yourself, what do I want out of a house? Or out of, you know, a house, is it an investment? Is it a retirement home? Is it maybe you want to do, you know, serviced apartments or Airbnb? You know, first of all, you need to know, what do I want out of this? So once you know what you want, for example, if it's investment, one of the things you know is that you want it in a very strategic location so that it supports what your objective is. So automatically, probably you might not afford a very strategic location. So what you'll do is you'll go to probably a developer. You know, a developer is able to buy land in bulk in very strategic areas, and you're able probably to buy now a developed property, or rather an apartment, which can support your objective. If you want a retirement home, you might think about, you know, the gated community, somewhere, you know, far away in a serene environment. So you might also contact probably a developer that does that, or a developer who also maybe just sells land and you're able to construct. So really it depends on what you want, what is your preference, what are you after, you know. So it starts there. Once you answer what you're after, then now you go to stage two is, where now can I get this? So that's where it gives you now a position of deciding. Then I'm going to go for an apartment, or I'm going to go for a gated community. Yes.
Indeed. And of course, when you make all these decisions, then the other thing is, as we agreed, due diligence.
Absolutely. You can't escape that.
Sometimes I've seen companies come and selling land or even a house, and they tell you, you know what, you don't have to be on the ground, just send your relative to do it for you. Is that good enough?
Well, it's okay, because, you know, not everyone will leave their work and just, or will get time off and, you know, just hop onto a plane. It's also not cheap, just making a round trip just to go and, you know. So sometimes we could use relatives we trust, but send your relative to a legal representative, and then maybe, you know, let them work together towards, you know, finding out if this property is genuine or not.
Yeah, so, because maybe if you just send a relative, they may be very green when it comes to matters of buying land or even a house.
And I've also seen relatives who are dishonest. So you send you tell them, go. You know, I've seen this piece of land in probably, say, a place like Juja or wherever. But they meet brokers along the way, and these brokers now divert them and tell them, if you buy from me, I'll give you a commission. So this person now is driven by the commission and no longer by your interest. So this person will now give you the wrong information and show you why you should not invest there. Because of X, Y, Z, they have all these nice reasons and genuine reasons which look genuine, and tell you not to invest there, but they have seen something else. I've seen that so many times, and that is how now you get conned. Because this broker now whom you're using will not even allow you to use a legal representative. Most brokers, I'm talking about now the dishonest people. So it can also be a bit tricky sometimes, unless you have someone whom you really, really trust. And that's why I always say, even if you have that person who you really trust, back it up with a legal representative. Yeah.
I've seen a situation whereby the company that is selling land to you or selling a house to you, they'll tell you that we have a lawyer which you can use.
Okay.
So the lawyer representing the seller is also the lawyer who wants to represent the buyer.
It's good to have your own lawyer. What's the point of having a lawyer who is being represented by the developer or by the person selling the land? Then it's not taking care of you. What you want is a very
independent
person telling you, hey, this is what I think about this land, you know. And but you cannot use the lawyer of the person selling to you.
Yeah, some companies doing that, and I've met a few people. They are like, it's very easy, because look
what
at it, the way it's sold to them, they are like, hey, it's so easy because, you know, this company has a lawyer, but it's the lawyer for the company selling you.
You get an independent lawyer. I know there are companies, if you're going to do, the conveyancing, there's at some point you'll need to choose from a panel of their lawyers for the conveyancing. But it should be their lawyer with your lawyer, and the conveyancing happens between the two lawyers. Yes,
exactly.
So that way it's okay. Yeah. But not the individual and their lawyer.
Yeah, because it's very... I dealt with a very serious case way back.
Yeah.
It was very sad. It's okay. About... it was an elderly woman.
Yeah.
A group of elderly women who were selling their... You know, we are selling the land.
Yeah.
That was the only land they had.
Yeah.
And what happens next is that the lawyer who was representing them, he went ahead because the person buying the piece of land was not in the country.
Yeah.
He went ahead to lie to these women. Okay.
Yeah.
I have the seller.
Yes.
But I can also be your lawyer.
Yeah.
And the moment he became their lawyer,
he conned both
the buyer and the seller together and disappeared.
Yeah.
And I remember one of the things that I did, which was very good at the time, was to challenge the Law Society of Kenya.
Yes.
That why do you have rogue lawyers? Yeah, why do you have criminals in the name of lawyers?
Yes.
And I remember the Law Society chairman at the time, he said to me, this will change.
Right.
And since that time, this is very important information for people who want to get a lawyer in Kenya.
Yes.
Since that time, Law Society changed.
Yeah.
Anytime on their website, they are quick to update.
Yeah.
The lawyers who have been blacklisted, the lawyers who have been discontinued, because initially you could be a member of Law Society, you're still practicing, but they came up with that system.
And there's even
since
an
then.
Online system of how
you can check them,
a lawyer,
which is very good.
Legit he is,
so now you can tell this is a legitimate
reviews,
lawyer.
You know, you
exactly.
can even go and check the reviews.
You check as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So things have changed. Let us not be lazy and say take things for granted, and we end up losing money.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, wow. Doesn't time fly? No one will understand.
Yes.
That's an African English saying.
Yes. But time has wings.
Time has wings.
Okay.
So it's been a pleasure hosting you. I understand also, for example, if you want to know more about what to look out for.
Yeah.
Mary has an event coming up, and this will be on holiday in Bloomsbury on 15th of July, 15th of this month.
Yeah, that's
go and
weekend.
Listen to what she will be sharing.
Yeah.
Mary, do you want to share your number?
Yes, please. My number is +44 75 68 75 2228. I repeat. +44 75 68 75 2228.
Great. Learn more and do things the right way and save your money. Well, this is all we have for Africa in Focus today, you know, but our listeners, stay tuned for more programs coming to you on Colorful Radio. Keep it colorful.
Africa
radio
in Focus.
Roll out the cool as a breeze. While it look like a science book, sir, a school mega teach. Rev the truck up to the mountain top, and as soon as me reach,
go get the sun, kiss your shoes off my feet, then I bless the cup, 32 songs to read. Give thanks to the love me receive, me work every day, in the street, and every day, end with nights like these. When a holiday, touch from the beach, white t-shirt, and I got a feet, and we not need no sneakers. Sun grains and massage me feet, blessing a flow like river. Girl drop asleep, she steam the indica, wake her and say, sun burning up till it red. Welcome to Kingston, every day is a summer, every night feel like a Friday. Wreck the bike till I'm swearing, I on my eyes red, I make the eye red. Still we now got red lights and nobody thinks every night a Friday. General, when you touch a road, me, I'm an empress, I'm a brother, then a rolling stranger. Earth's pretty like an emerald, no one pound, not several in the chalice, but we talk no Babylon to the vapor. Tell her that I'm ready for the energy, we bring in every stellar, then my follow is how we are the maker. Spreading like a runner, think I'm Bolton, we come here, remember every day of summer when you're there at Jamaica. Oh, Lord, baby, this place kind of crazy. Oh, oh, everybody I dance, catch the energy. Babylon can't stop the music. Rastafari keep it moving. The world where I pray for touchdown in the West Indies. God.
I'm praying to God that we can find a solution. Father, I'm not here for you.
To Kingston every day, it's a summer every night, feel like a Friday. Rep the bike till I'm swearing, it's a on my eye grade, I'm at the eye red. Still we not the red light, and nobody thinks every night a Friday. Ooh. Oh yeah, oh yeah, every day, in the streets, every day, end with nights like these. When a holiday, we touch money beach, a white t-shirt and a cut off jeans, and we not need no sneakers, no. And pains and massage my feet, my locks long like Jesus locks. When the steam is at Tiva, la 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 la, dance on, 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 la la la, dance on. Kingston every day is a summer, every night feel like a Friday.
Oh yeah.
Breath the bike till them serve is a on my eye grade, I make with eye rail.
Oh yeah.
Still when I go red, yeah, if nobody thinks every night a Friday.
Oh yeah.